For the past 6 months, we have celebrated the mysteries of our salvation, the incarnation and birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the paschal mystery of his passion, death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, and last week, Pentecost Sunday, the sending of the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, upon the Church. Today, then, as for the last 700 years or so, the Church then follows this long parade of mysteries by turning to what the Catechism calls the most central mystery of Christian faith and life, the mystery of God in himself, the mystery from which all others spring, that is, the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity. We will see that there is a good reason why we begin the Mass every time in the name, that is, in the power, in the being, in the reality of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. For we'll see that the Mass has everything to do with the inner life of the Trinity. We hear in the Gospel of the disciples, when they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Although our Lord Jesus had risen gloriously from the dead and had appeared to the disciples over a space of 40 days, and even though he is standing them there right in front of them so that they worship him, it seems that some of them still aren't completely sure of what is going on. And this might be how some of us feel when we approach the doctrine of the Trinity. We know it's important. We affirm it in the Creed every week. But are we, any more than the disciples, completely sure of what is going on? And we ask this at a unique moment because over these past 6 months, while we have been celebrating all those mysteries of our salvation, we have also been reciting the Creed using the new translation. And so we have said, week after week, that our Lord Jesus Christ is consubstantial with the Father, one of those changes that is most noticeable. Consubstantial. What does that mean? We use that word at no other time. What does consubstantial mean? But this is important to understand because the Catechism tells us that the basic structure of the doctrine of the Trinity boils down to three points. God is one in substance, or essence, or nature. God is three divine persons, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the distinction between these three persons is found in their relationship to each other, in the relationship that those names, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, name. Now, consubstantial touches directly upon that first of the three points, such that the Catechism can speak of the consubstantial Trinity. At the heart of that word, consubstantial, is the word substance. And there's the trouble, because that term substance is there being used in a very precise philosophical meaning that is actually very different from the way that we use it in our common English right now. Right now, we tend to use the word substance in a meaning of something physical but incredibly undefined, so that we might say something like, there's some sort of sticky substance on the bottom of my shoe. That's almost exactly opposite of the philosophical meaning of the word substance. For that meaning is that the word substance identifies what something is. As follows. Imagine that you and a friend are walking through a field in very thick fog, so you can't see very far in front of you. So you both see there's something up ahead. What's that? Well, I think it's a man. You keep going, get a little closer. No, wait. I see it better. It's actually a tree. Simple exchange, right? What's that? it's a man. No, it's a tree. That's substance, what it is. And that is why you might hear next week on Corpus Christi the term transubstantiation, because the substance, what it is, changes from bread and wine to the body and blood of Christ. And this week, Trinity Sunday, we affirm in the Creed that Christ is consubstantial, of the same substance as the Father, which is to say that what the Son is what the Father is, just as what the Holy Spirit is what the Father is, and what the Son is. What each of the three persons is not just similar, but the same, consubstantial, of the same substance. Now that phrase comes in the Creed right after another, where we affirm that the Son is begotten, not made. We know that any one of us can make things that are not us. But it's very different and very special for a father to beget a child, for a mother to give birth to a child. For in that act, we thereby generate another person who, in a sense, is us, is the same as us. Now, when it comes to human persons begetting or giving birth to other human persons, we come up with separation and differences. But when, by analogy, we speak of God the Father begetting or generating God the Son, then we have two truly distinct divine persons who are consubstantial, of the same substance. And what distinguishes them is their relation, the Father's fatherhood, the Son's sonship. Now at this point, of course, we're getting pretty deep, but there's a good reason, because when we actually begin to name these relations, then this has everything to do with the Mass. Consider, what is this sonship? What is this relationship that distinguishes the Son as Son from the Father, from the Holy Spirit? Pope John Paul II wrote that the Son receives everything from the Father and gives everything back to the Father in love. Now the Son did this from all eternity, receiving all the goodness, all the being, all the love, all the beauty that is found in the Father, who is the fountain of everything, and giving it all back in love from all eternity. And then, incarnate as our Lord Jesus Christ, he continued to do this in every moment of his earthly life. And he brought this all to completion. In what? In his great sacrificial self-gift, in love, upon the cross. What is it that happens in the Mass? That sacrifice, that culmination, that act of sonship is made present right upon the altar. Christ receiving everything and giving everything back to the Father, right here. The sonship of the Son of God being lived out right here. The Son and the Father, as it were, face to face and living and being with each other. We are then in the presence of the very heart of the Trinity. And if that were all, that would be amazing enough in itself. But it's not all. There's more than that. There's another less obvious change in the new translation of the Creed that's important right here. For we affirm that Christ is the only begotten Son of God, rather than what we were previously saying, the only Son of God. Why is that important? Because God the Father has other sons and daughters. Christ is not the only Son of God. We also, through baptism, receive adoption, as St. Paul tells us, as sons and daughters of God the Father. We are adopted into the sonship of the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if our Lord Jesus Christ is made present in the Mass, living out His sonship, His only begotten sonship, then we also are meant to live out that sonship that we have been adopted into. And that is why Christ is made present in the Mass, not only in Himself to receive everything from the Father and give everything back in love, but to lead us in doing the same thing, to lead us in living out that sonship that we have been adopted into, so that we offer ourselves to the Father with Him. Indeed, through Him, and with Him, and in Him. O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is Yours forever and ever. And speaking of the Holy Spirit, where is that third person of the Trinity in all this? In your hearts, where the Spirit has been indwelling since your baptism. He is there drawing you forward after Christ, drawing you to the Mass in the first place, drawing you forward, as it were, spiritually, to unite yourself with Christ the priest, offering Christ the victim in that great act of sonship to the Father. Holy Spirit, drawing each of us forward to unite ourselves in the very heart of the Trinity. And that is what the Mass is all about. To enter into the heart of the Trinity. Not just as observers, amazing though that would be, but as participants, sharers, sons and daughters, adopted into God the Son, living out that sonship in union with the only begotten, giving ourselves completely to God the Father. May we enter into this mystery more deeply at this Mass than ever before.